Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We had a little episode in our sanctuary this past week. As hopefully all of you know, we have a preschool here at Oak Harbor Lutheran Church, and on Wednesdays, the preschoolers come in for little chapel services. We have a morning service and an afternoon service, so we put the pews together here, and we have a little service here in the sanctuary on Wednesdays. And this past Wednesday, the chapel services fell on Halloween. And so for part of the Bible teaching time, I invited the kids to share with me some of the things that caused them to be afraid. So they talked about spiders, and they talked about bats, and they talked about zombies and vampires and monsters. One little girl said that she's afraid of Frankensteins, which was kind of cute. Then I shared with them that oftentimes when I'm afraid, or when I'm ministering to someone who is afraid, I will often share with them a passage from Scripture, a passage from the Bible, specifically a passage from Isaiah 43, which I read to them, says, God says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the fire, it will not consume you. You are precious in my sight, and I love you." So I shared that verse with them, and we talked about it a little bit, and I encouraged them that whenever they are afraid, they can remember that promise. Even if they don't remember all the words of the verse, they can remember the promise that God says, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." Well, we went on with the little chapel service. We sang a couple of songs, and we got to prayer time, where I invite them to share with me, who do you want to pray for today? They always have different people they want to pray for. And as I went down the aisle, down the row, asking people who they wanted to pray for, I got to one kid who was not ready to move on yet from our previous conversation. He started to mumble something about how he sings "Jesus Loves Me" when he's afraid. He talked about getting hugs from his mom. And then he startled me because he said he was afraid of a man with a knife. He was afraid of a man with a knife that he had seen on TV. He said his name was Michael Myers, you know, from the movie Halloween, this horror film, the slasher film. He was afraid that Michael Myers was going to come and get him. And as he told me this, his eyes were getting all watery. They started to fill with tears, and he was starting to wring his hands, and his lips were starting to shake, and his voice was getting all trembly. He was starting to lose it. And I was afraid he was going to start upsetting the other kids. And so I interrupted him. I said, no. No, this character you've seen on TV, he's not real. He's pretend. He's a character. I'm sorry you even know that name or have seen that guy on TV, but let me assure you, he is pretend. He said, no, he's real. I've seen him on TV, and he's going to come to my house. I said, no, I promise you that is not going to happen. This guy looks real on TV, but he's pretend. He's a character. He's fake. This kid repeated those words, that he's fake, like he was trying to convince himself. And then I pointed him back, and everybody, back to the verse that I had shared with them. I said, whenever you're afraid, you can think about that verse, right? If you start to think about that creepy guy, just think about that promise God gives you, that he is with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, God says. And then I asked him, because it wasn't entirely clear the first time, I said, did you say that you sing "Jesus Loves Me" when you're afraid? He said he did. I said, does it help? He said, yeah, it does. He said, well, you can keep on singing. Keep on singing. Keep on singing that song. Whenever you're afraid, keep on singing that song. Well, this little episode has stuck with me throughout the past week. I keep on thinking about it. Not only does my heart ache for this little boy who should not have to be worrying about horror film characters, but coming as it did on All Hallows' Eve, that is on the Eve of All Saints, it reminded me also of this greatest fear that we all have as human beings. This fear that stalks all of us. This greatest fear we all have, which is the fear of death. It's kind of hard to avoid that with the text for this Sunday. And now today we come to All Saints Sunday and we also read the names of all those who have died in the past year. We remember our loved ones who have died. We remember and celebrate all the saints who have died and gone on to the church triumphant. And as celebratory as All Saints Day should be, as Easter-y as it should feel, it kind of has the whiff of a funeral about it at the same time. With these readings, with the tolling of the bell, which is going to come later on in the service during the prayers of intercession, has kind of the whiff of a funeral about it today. And so those fears we have, the fear of death, starts to be stirred up in us. Because we know that though Michael Myers is pretend, stage 4 cancer is not. We know that Frankenstein's might be fake, but congestive heart failure or strokes or traffic fatalities, those things are all too real. And we know that one or another of those things is going to come and get all of us eventually, right? Being reminded of this is hard. Being reminded of this is scary. It causes us to be afraid. But today God interrupts our fears with a word of promise. God interrupts our fears with a word that can calm our trembling hearts. In our first reading, God says to us through the prophet Isaiah that he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples. That fear of death, that shroud that is cast over all peoples, God will destroy it. That sheet that is spread over all nations, God is going to destroy it because God is going to swallow up death forever. In our second reading, God says to us through the revelation given to St. John that he will make his home among mortals. You know what mortals are, right? Mortals are those who will die. God will make his home among mortals, and he will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death, God says, will be no more. Death will be no more, and so mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Those are pretty great promises, huh? But then we have our gospel reading. Best of all, we have this story from the Gospel of John. There we hear that Jesus goes to Mary and Martha who are grieving. Their brother, Jesus' beloved friend Lazarus, has died. We hear that Jesus weeps with them, which is important, but it's not the only thing that happens here. Jesus doesn't just weep with them. Jesus has told Martha earlier on in this story, he tells Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. And now he's going to show them exactly what that means. He says to them, "Where have you laid him? Take me to the tomb." So they take Jesus to Lazarus' tomb, and he says, "Roll away the stone." Martha says, "Lord, no. It's already been 4 days, and there's a stench. It's been 4 days since we put him in there. You don't want to open that up." Not only is there the stench involved, but to open up that tomb and for Jesus to get near it would have put Jesus dangerously close to becoming ritually unclean through contact with the dead. So there's a lot at stake here. But Jesus didn't care about the stench. Jesus didn't care about being made unclean. He didn't care about getting dirty. Jesus loved Lazarus. So he told him, "Roll that stone away." Jesus wasn't afraid of being dirty, wasn't afraid of the stench. And whenever I hear this story now, it reminds me of something that happened many years ago now at the funeral that I did for a dear, dear woman in one of my previous congregations. Whenever I hear this story, I can't help but think about what happened at her funeral. Her husband of more than 50 years worked most of his life as a caretaker for a golf course. So he's always dirty. He had dirty boots and dirty coveralls and dirt under his fingernails. That's how he spent his days as a caretaker of a golf course. But on the day of his beloved wife's funeral, he was not dirty. There was no dirt under his fingernails. He was wearing his best shoes. He was wearing his best suit. He had a crisp white shirt on and a tie with it. So we had the service at the church, and then we went out to the cemetery for the committal service. That wrapped up, and when it did, most people started to eventually leave. People trickled away until it was just him and I, and I think his daughter was there as well. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave that cemetery. He didn't want to leave that grave. He insisted on staying there until the crew lowered her down into the grave. Usually crews don't like family to be present when they do that, but they allowed us to stay as they lowered her into her grave. And after she was all the way lowered down, he did something that I've never seen before and I've never seen since. This dear, sweet man in his nice, clean suit, he got down in the dirt. He laid on his stomach in the grass at the edge of her grave, and he reached his arm down into her grave. He reached down and he called out to his beloved. He didn't want to let her go. He didn't care at that point about getting dirty. He didn't care about the mud that was now smeared all over that nice white shirt. He didn't care about it. He didn't want to let her go. He loved her so much, he was calling into her grave, calling out her name. Well, that's what Jesus is doing for Lazarus. Jesus doesn't care about the stench. Jesus doesn't care about being made unclean. Jesus pokes his head into that tomb and calls out to his beloved friend. But the difference between that grieving husband and Christ Jesus is that Jesus' word has power. Lazarus, come out, he says. Jesus' word has power because Lazarus came out. Through the power of Jesus' word, he was raised up from death and out he came. The Lord Jesus is going to do the same thing for you, you know. Through his own death and resurrection, Christ has conquered death. He has fulfilled what Isaiah talked about, that God was going to swallow up death forever. Through Christ, God indeed dwells among mortals. He dwells among us. He is our Emmanuel. Because of Jesus, death will be no more. Now, we'll still face it, to be sure. There's no avoiding that. As St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So it is coming for all of us. But you are a beloved friend of Jesus, and that makes all the difference in the world. Jesus loves you. So when that enemy does come, you can be certain that Jesus is going to get down into the dirt with you. He is going to poke his head into your tomb. He's going to reach into your grave. He's going to shout out your name and say, come out. And his word has power. His word has power to call you out of the grave and into eternal life with him. This word has power for us now, too. One reason we celebrate All Saints Sunday is to hear our funeral sermon ahead of time. Oftentimes we only hear Bible verses like this. We only hear a proclamation like this at a funeral, maybe Easter time, but usually only at a funeral. Well, today is our chance to hear our funeral sermon ahead of time, so we might gain power from that promise so that we can live in comfort and in peace now, here and now. Today we hear a word that we can cling to when we're afraid, a word that we can cling to when we're grieving. We hear a word that can calm our trembling hearts. God has swallowed up death forever. God makes his home among mortals, among you and me. God has ultimately destroyed death forever. And so we can live in confidence, we can live in hope, we can live in peace, because we know that when the noise of this world is finally hushed in our ears once and for all, that the next thing we will hear is the voice of Christ Jesus calling out our name, calling us out of the grave to live with him forever. And so with my little friend from preschool, whenever we're afraid, we can hold on to this word. Whenever we're afraid, we can cling to this promise. And you know what else? We can sing too. We can keep on singing. Jesus Loves Me is a great choice, but this next one we're going to sing is pretty good too. So please stand as you're able. Let us sing, "Shall We Gather at the River." Amen.